story. So I bless God for Pastor and Co-Pastor giving me this opportunity to stand before you this morning. Give honor to everyone that's here, all the ministers, deacons, and I definitely want to give honor to my wife who's not here, but I know she's with me in the spirit. And thank God she's finishing her last day today in school for the past 2 years. And I'm grateful that she'll be getting some rest and then on to a new journey. Because I'm believing God that she's soon going to walk away from where she is to greater. You know, I'm blessed to have a wife that I have. I'm going to say this and I'm going to go into, because I'm going to read Genesis from the Message, because it's something that God dealt with me in the Message. Genesis 37, 3 through 11. And then I want y'all to turn to Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. I'm going to read it from the Message. Amen. But my wife, my brothers and sisters, she loves this church. And she constantly speaks about this church during school. When she come home, she always has something great to say about pastor and co-pastor and about this church. And it's to the point where I'm standing and I feel like she's standing right here with me. And I'm just blessed to have a wife like that, and just wonderful to see her go through all that she's been through in her sicknesses for the past several years, to see her graduate with a master's. Y'all don't know the story that's inside my home. But I'm grateful that, you know, God has given her the ability, the strength, the mind to want to go forward and to want to do better for herself. So I'm just hats off to a lady like that that's been through hell and high water, but yet next Saturday she'll be walking down that aisle getting a master's degree. Amen. Amen. I'm excited. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 37 from the Message reads, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he was the child of his old age. He made him an elaborately embroidered coat. Now, y'all know that coat came from Nordstrom's. When his brothers realized that their father loved him more than them, they grew to hate him. And that hatred, my brothers and sisters, when somebody tell you, and I'm a witness, that they hate you in your face, it just goes deep down inside your spirit. Thank you. That it just hurts. It's a pain that you cannot even explain. They wouldn't even speak to him. Can you imagine in your home and your own family not even speaking to you? Amen. So Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said, listen to this dream I had. We were all out in the field gathering bundles of wheat. All of a sudden, my bundle stood up straight and your bundle circled around it and bowed down to mine. His brother said, so you're going to rule us? You're going to boss us around? Well, they hated him more than ever because of his dreams and the way he talked. He had another dream and told this one also to his brothers. I dreamed another dream. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me. And when he told it to his father and his brothers, his father reprimanded him, what's with this dreaming? Am I and your mother? Now, I must put a point right there at mother. That was not Joseph's biological mother. In chapter 35, the Bible says that Rachel died after she gave birth to Benjamin. So can you imagine once again in a house when your brother's hating on you, your father now reprimanding you, and you ain't got your mother at the age of 17, when you're most vulnerable at that age, when you're growing up, and you know you need your mom. I know when I was coming up at that age, I went to my mom for everything. Daddy was there, but yet not there, but my mom always was there. And this young man didn't have his biological mother there. Here, his father is rebuking him, and he feels some kind of way. Now turn to Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. Amen. Is everybody all right this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We had a great start of a service, and I pray to God we have a great finish. Are you with me on Genesis chapter 50? Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see? You plan evil against me, but God used those same plans for my good. As you see all around you right now, life for many people. Easy now. You have nothing to fear. I'll take care of you and your children." He reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Father, as I stand before your people, God, delivering your word, the moment I stood and opened my mouth, now and I ask you to speak through me, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my God. Beside thee, there is no other. Bless now your people, God. Bless the sinner man. Bless anyone that's in a backslidden state. Let the man know, woman, boy, or girl, that we're living in our last day and you're soon to return. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we do know with the signs around us, with all that's happening, that one day you're coming to redeem us and we'll be going home to be in glory with you forever. Thank you now for your word. Bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The theme that God gave me when I was studying this for a while, the theme is between dysfunctions to the place of favor. Between dysfunctions to the place of favor. Now, in the message I'm going to give you, what's between the dysfunctions to your favor. The 3 points you hear in the message is, number one, a divine destination. Number one, a divine destination. Number two, put your faith in God. Number two, put your faith in God. And number three, you're in the blessed place. Amen. Number three, you are in the blessed place. Before I get started, listen, I was in Sunday school and Courtney blessed my soul with this morning. A songwriter says, "My status is changing. There's no more decline. I'm on my way to a better place." And I was standing there and she said that. I said, wow, that's a great opening for the message that I have, because a lot of us are changing.
Well,
there's no more decline. We done been through hell and high water. We done been through all this, that, and the other. Now you're on your way to a better place. Hallelujah. I thought that was good. Now, I wonder if there's anybody in here today that could attest to this phrase. I'm about to make, and that is, I absolutely believe that I am in the place where God wants me to be. I like my life and all that's around me. I love my family. We are all not perfect, but I like where I am.
And I believe I'm in the place where God will have me to be. But, somebody say but. It's nothing like the dream I had when I was coming up. Is there anybody in here right now that thought you would be further in your life, but the road to getting further was very rough? It included many dysfunctions. It included many letdowns. It included many heartbreaks, and it included so much drama in my life that it's amazing that I'm still standing where I am right now. Hallelujah. You see, the word dysfunction, my brothers and sisters, has various meanings. But the one meaning helped me to understand where Joseph, including you and I, and it says, it's an abnormal or unhealthy interpersonal behavior or interaction with a group of families. That includes favoritism. It includes hatred. It includes envious and jealousy. It includes conspiracy and so forth. Like some of us, the only way you could have gotten here is because God has a divine destiny on your life. And the only way you can break through these barriers is by trusting totally in God. I want to talk to some other person in here today who may be struggling with your life and where you are at this present time. And I just want you to know that it wasn't the devil that orchestrated the dysfunctions, but it was God testing your faith. Hallelujah. And I believe God allows us to go through this and that just to make sure we are trusting and depending upon Him. Can I get a witness this morning? Anytime you're going through and God allows something and you have a divine destination on your life, you need to understand if you struggle to get there and if it's God's divine will, and you need to know the blessing and the shout to it is the fact that you're going to get to the place in God where you're going to be blessed forever, not just upon this earth. But when we get over into glory, the favor of God will be there all throughout eternity. This ain't our home. We just pilgrims and strangers traveling through a barren land. Then when we get to glory, ain't nothing we gonna worry about like we worry about down here. Amen? So just to make sure we are trusting and depending upon God, because He's the only one who can get us to our destiny, safe and sound. Amen? So furthermore, whenever God has a divine destiny and you suffer to get there, after you and I have suffered a while, when we get to our favor in God, then we can appreciate all that we went through just to get to that blessed place in God. We can appreciate it. Am I right about it? Hallelujah. Can I say this? Anytime you're dealing with especially family dysfunctions and you're the victim, it can tear your sperms down. Now, listen to what the sperms are. The sperms are your spirit, your physical, your emotions, your mental, and your social life. The dysfunctions can cause your spirit not to be at peace. Hallelujah. Because of hatred and rebuke that can cause you to have a physical challenge, your emotions are out of control, and you wind up mentally disturbed, and socially, you just don't want to be bothered. Feel yourself like an island just don't want to be around nobody because of some hatred or something somebody must say to you that caused you to feel the way you feel. You see, the story of Joseph is impacted with the life of a 17-year-old man who experienced many dysfunctions, such as hatred, twice from his 10 brothers who hated him because of a coat of many colors and for the double dream that he dreamt that would not come to pass till later in his life. Now, I must pause there. One thing that Joseph shouldn't have done was show favoritism to the one son. But I want to help little, Joe out a little bit because I believe it could have been Joe's birthday. The Bible really doesn't say why Joe, I mean, it says he favored him, but there had to have been some other reason why the father would just give one. He got 11 sons, daughters, but yet only give one son a coat. Now, in our term, in our life, I would feel some kind of way. I don't know about hating, but as, I mean, these are older brothers. I'm surprised. I'm sure they're out there working. They're out there doing their thing. You can buy your own coat. I'm sure of that. But when my daughters were coming up, all three of them, I tried not to show favor to none. What I did was on their birthdays, I bought them a gift, but I gave the other ones gifts too. Hey, man, that's the way I was as a father. And as they got older, I didn't want to show any other favoritism to them because when you show favoritism to one child, the other child children would get highly upset, point fingers at the other child, and the other children would just hate on them for no reason because, do y'all get this? That goes for every family when you decide that you want to show this type of dysfunction. And it's a hurt piece. Am I right about it? It's a hurt piece to be hated because I dreamed something that didn't come to pass yet. This revelatory experience from that Joseph received from God concerning the future caused a major problem with him and his family. Maybe Joseph told the story or the dream too early. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we too will tell our visions and our dreams, especially to those that don't want to see things come to pass in your life. And when you tell it to them and it don't come to pass for years and years, they still looking at you like, where is the dream? Where is the vision? You told us you was going to get this. You told us you was going to get that. But somebody need to hold on this morning. Because if God made a promise to you that you're going to be the head and not the tail, that he's going to bless your latter days, then you got to hold on and believe that he's able to do what he promised. Am I right about it? And I do believe God didn't want Joseph to reveal it that soon. But the excitement in Joseph was feeling it, that the excitement caused him to expel something that wouldn't come to pass 2 years later. Well, and in between the time Joseph reached his latter days glory to the palace as the governor of Egypt, but there were various dysfunction that caused him to wind up in a pit, incarcerated for a long time. But between the dreams and to the place of favor, the kind of dysfunction, thank you very much, Joseph encountered would cause the average young man today to commit revenge or to run the streets of Philly looking for something to pacify that intriguing pain that he felt. And most of the time, it was caused by he or she, it would cause he or she to turn to violence, to turn to drugs, to turn to alcohol that leads to all kinds of other dysfunctions. Hallelujah. It's no wonder Joseph didn't run away like the prodigal son, and wasted his life in the riotous living. But deep down inside of Job, he kept the faith. He kept his integrity. He stayed prayed up. And because he knew he had a calling on his life and that only God can fulfill. Hallelujah. What would you do if you encountered this kind of dysfunction? And you know God has promised that your latter days will be greater than your beginning. What would you do when God said that you're going to be the head, but you're the tail? What would you do when God said that you're going to be the lender, but you're always borrowing? What would you do when God said that you're going to be above, but you're always beneath in your finances? What would you do when God promised to give you power to get wealth and you're always broke, busted, and disgusted? What would you do? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. And I have an answer for these problems. Songwriter says, just turn it over to the Lord and he'll work it out. Jesus said, I will work all your problems out. If you just turn them over to me and let me have them. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. I prayed, and I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do with these problems, but he said, just turn them over to me. Stop worrying about it. So I turned it over to the Lord, and he began to work them out. And then at the end of it, he said, oh, yeah? You have to believe that's the faith in God, that when you turn everything over to the Lord, he will work them things out. And we know that all things work together for the good of them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And I believe that it was God's purpose for Joseph to be hated by his brothers. It was God's purpose for Joseph to wind up in a pit. It was God's purpose for Joseph to get falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and landed in prison. It was God's purpose for Joseph to be gifted with the gift of interpretation of dreams. So while he's in prison, he interprets the baker and the butler's dream that landed Joseph into Pharaoh's house, and he wound up interpreting Pharaoh's dream, and he and Joseph made it to his divine destiny. Well, amen. For Proverbs 18:6 tells me, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And Joseph had the gift of interpretation, and an interpretation landed him in a place of favor. For the Bible says that everywhere Joseph went, God showed him favor. Can I turn it to us? When you're leaning and trusting in the will of God, and you know that God has purpose, and you know you got a destiny, if you just trust and believe, don't you know that God will bless your life like never before? Hallelujah. He came before great men, and he wound up in the palace. I'll get back there at the end. Hallelujah. So, when God has a purpose on your life, and you two go through similarities, you must hold on to God's unchanging hands and wait upon the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. You shall mount up with wings of eagles. You shall run and not get weary, and you shall walk and not faint. The best and greatest thing we can ever do is to trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding, But in all your ways, acknowledge him. I said, in all your ways, not some of them. Because, you know, we like to take things in our own hands. And when you take things in your own hands for a long time, guess what? You're going to continue to mess up. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Listen. People, my brothers and sisters, will hate you. But Jesus said, I'll love you. People will reject you. But Jesus said, I will accept you. People will ridicule you. But Jesus said, I'll smile on you. People will curse you. But Jesus said, I will bless you. People will try to hurt you. But Jesus said, I'll embrace you. People will humiliate you. But Jesus will magnify you. People will judge you. But God will justify you. Diseases will try to kill you. But Jesus will heal you. You see, hatred is a dysfunction. Jealousy is a dysfunction. Envious is a dysfunction. Judging one another is a dysfunction. Showing favoritism is a dysfunction. Uncleanliness is a dysfunction. Lasciviousness is a dysfunction. Idolatry is a dysfunction. Witchcraft is a dysfunction. Variance is a dysfunction. Sedition is a dysfunction. Heresies is a dysfunction. Fornication is a dysfunction. Adultery is a dysfunction. Drunkenness is a dysfunction. Railing is a dysfunction. And such like will mess you up. And they that do such things, good God from Zion, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Question is, what do you do when you know there's a dysfunction within the family? Huh? What do you do when you know all of this is in somebody that needs to be delivered? What do you do? Do you point your finger? Do you judge them? As though you never sinned and fall short to the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans, all have sinned, not y'all, including I, have sinned and fallen short to the glory of God. But by the grace of God, we are saved. By the grace of God, we are still living. Because somebody in here today should have been dead and gone. But guess what? God gave you another time, gave you extra time. Just like he did King Hezekiah. When the prophet came to him. I'll get his name out before I finish this. When the prophet came to him, he said to him, get your house in order. You're about to die. King Hezekiah rolled out. The prophet left. He rolled over in bed to the face to the wall. He began to pray. And there's something about prayer. When you pray, God can lift you out your pit. When you pray, God will extend your time additional 15 years. Because before, was it Isaiah? The prophet. I got his name. Before he left the court, the Bible says that God heard Hezekiah's prayers. He seen his tears. He saw what he was going. He said, do you remember I tried to do right? I did right. I messed up a little bit. But God have mercy. Well, and God told him, turn around. Well, go back to Hezekiah. Tell him, I'm going to give you more time to get it right, to stay right. I'm going to give you an additional 15 years. If God can do that through the prayers of the righteous, can you imagine what God can do when somebody's sick? The Bible says, call on the elders, and the elders get the oil and go and anoint that person, and they shall recover. Can you imagine if you're walking upright, if you're doing what God says, and God placed it on your hands to go and just touch somebody, and they shall recover from drugs, they shall recover from alcohol. God, can you imagine if all of us got on one accord, and if somebody was falling deep in debt, that somebody would come out their pocket and say, look, my brother, look, my sister, here's $100 that will try to help you over here, something that can... Do y'all understand that if we all got on one accord and begin to do the will of God, can you imagine what God can do with all of us? We can tear down strongholds. We can raise up the enemy off people. We can do this if we were all on one accord where the church began in Acts. Hallelujah. So my question began with you saying, what would you do when you know there's a dysfunction? What would you do when you see your brothers and your sisters dying in the street? We are our brother's keeper if they want to be kept. If they don't want to be kept, only God can keep them. But if you see one coming up, brothers, come on, sisters, come on. Bring them back to the house of God. Feed them if they need to be fed. Clothe them if they need to be clothed. All the stuff we have, it ain't ours. What? As much as I go up and down and wait, when I went down, I gave. When I went up, I kept. I keep something. Dang. Naked we shall leave, naked we shall return, but I'm still alive, so I need my clothes, y'all. I'm glad to hear everybody laughing right now because I got to get to the finish line with this message, amen. So, you have the question in your mind, what would you do? Would you avoid them? If somebody came up to you, do you know that money you have in your pocket and your banking account ain't yours? You can't take that. When you die, you can't take nothing back with you. So, would you avoid the situation, or would you give them a helping hand? We are the chosen people of God. Well, we're supposed to lend hands, not to those that are already blessed. I mean, that's good too, because we're supposed to bless those, the household of faith. We're supposed to give and do. But how about outside the walls? That situation is needed more than just being here. Because we are blessed, amen. PPP and WCC, we are blessed. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And say to God, and this is the thing. When we avoid the situation, we say to God, or we say to people, God got it. Instead of praying and really being sincere about the prayer for a person that really needs prayer, you know what we say? God can handle it. That's wrong. We are the children of the Most High God, who has all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy. Love to love the hell out of people. Joy to see folk happy and not sad. Peace, because we try to live peacefully with all men. Amen. Long suffering. Because God is long-suffering with us and patient with us. So we got to be long-suffering and patient with others too until they recover. Huh? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, having self-control, being humble. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with all the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. between dysfunction, trying to get to your faith, your place of favor, then the great, you're in the greatest place.
Well,
where you have to put your faith in action. Remember earlier I said when I opened up that between dysfunction to your place of favor, you know what's between it is faith. Faith is between dysfunction to get to your favor. Jesus said, I've never seen the greatest faith until the centurion soldier came to me and said, I need you to go. He wanted to go to the house. But Jesus, the man said, listen, I'm in control just like you are. If you can just speak a word, my soldier can recover. Just speak the word, and my main man is going to get up out of bed of affliction. All you got to do is just speak the word. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. And if you want the favor of God, then you have to put all your trust in him. Look at your neighbor and say, do you really? Oh, y'all ain't talking to all y'all neighbor. I only heard four people. Do you really? That's much better. Trust God. Do you really have faith in God? Amen. Because having faith in God tells him, I believe I'm going to be healed by any disease. Having faith in God says, I may be down right now, but the devil, wait, but devil, here it is, wait till I get to my place in God. Having faith in God says, I may have borrowed, but soon I'm going to be the lender. Having faith in God says that I was the tail, but now I'm the head. Now, because my faith sees the invisible. My faith believes the unbelievable. My faith receives the impossible. If you have faith in God, God will bless your life. If you have faith in God, God will show you favor right in front of your enemies. If you have faith in God, God will open doors that man will try to shut. If you have faith in God, God will give you double for all of your troubles. Hallelujah. If you have faith in God, God will go with you through the fire, be with you in the fire, and bring you out the fire untouched. Am I right about it? If you have faith in God, God will lock the jaws of the lion in the den. If you have faith in God, God will allow you to walk on water. Just don't take your eyes off him because you're beginning to sink. If you have faith in God, God, hallelujah, has to do is just speak a word and you will recover. If you have faith in God, God will go with you into your house, kick everybody out, and speak to death and say, to like thy coming, get out. And the daughter got up from her grave, from her deathbed. Hallelujah. I'm almost there, y'all. If you have faith in God, God can allow you to crawl through a crowded crowd just to touch the hem of his garments, and you will be healed of that long disease. Amen. You see, faith is like a vehicle that will drive you to your divine destiny. But you have to get in the car and start the vehicle. Whether you have a push button start or you put the key in the ignition, you have to get in and start that car and then push the ignition, the gears. Sometimes we get to the point of life where we just stop, we just stay there and we stay in park. Because life was so challenging that we feel like we have nowhere to go. But when you shift the gears and you begin to back up, when you in park and there's cars in front of you, behind you, you got to parallel your way out. Are y'all getting this? You back up. God said, don't back up to former elements. Don't you go back to where you used to be. Don't you go back on drugs. Don't you go back on alcohol. Don't you go back to lying and stealing and doing things that are contrary to the will of God. God said, I want to take you forward. So when you parallel out, you shift and you go forward. There's a shifting that's getting ready, that's happening in the atmosphere. And in order for you to drive to your destiny, you have to shift yourself forward, regardless to who's pulling you behind, regardless to who's trying to keep you down, regardless of who has said something about you that you ain't going to make it. You got to shift. I almost said something, but you got to shift into forward and go forward, because God has a blessing waiting for you. And it got your name on it if you shift and go forward. If you're going neutral and stand still, you ain't going to get it. You ain't going to get it. But God wants to restore unto you everything that the cankerworm and the pomeworm have stolen from you. God wants to restore everything that you lost. He wants to take you forward, because Jesus soon is coming back. And when you look around us, you'll see that moving forward, we're moving forward to get to the kingdom. Yes, God promised that he's going to continue to bless us here. Our latter day is going to be greater. But in order to get to the greater, you got to trust in God, have faith in God, and believe that he did with Joseph. If he can take Joseph through all of this, because Joseph had a divine destiny, and if he can take Joseph from being teenager to his adult life and to go through all of this till he got to his place in God, then if you've been through all this all your life, guess what? God getting ready to bless you now, because you were steadfast and you were unmovable. You are bound in the word of God. You are bound in your life. You did the right things for God. You begin to pray. You begin to study the word. You begin to come to church. You come to Bible study. You come to Sunday school. You pray with your friends. You pray with your family. You hooked up with a brother. You hooked up with a sister. Now you got it going on with God, because God wants to bless us down here as he promised. He told us throughout scripture. You're reading many a times that your latter days will be greater than your beginning. And if you can just hold on to the unchanging hands of God, soon and very soon, you're going to get what God has promised you. But you got to hold on. You've got to walk in the truth. You've got to walk in righteousness. You've got to walk. I've never seen the righteousness forsaken, nor a seed his begging bread. I once was old, but I once was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen God's people suffering. God's getting ready to turn it around. You might be going through something right now in your mind, but I came here today with a message on my mind to let you know God getting ready to break us through. But you got to get in the vehicle and drive. You can pull with somebody. But make sure you pull with the person that's living right. Don't be caught pulling with the wrong person. Because people look at you in here, but they definitely looking at you out there. God wants to bless your life like never before. We're between it. Somebody was between it. Dysfunctions. And now you done been through so much in your life, you can't help but to put faith in God. Who else will you put faith in? Psalms 118 said it's better to put your trust in man and God than have trust in man. It is better to put your trust in God than to have trust in princes. Because when you put your trust in man, man will let you down. Man don't have your back. God got your back. So again, keep your eyes on God and he will prosper you. Am I right about it? Hallelujah. We know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds, right? Do you know those dysfunctions are strongholds that's keeping you down? And you need to lock up with somebody that's really strong in God so he can pull you away from what you're struggling with. God would allow you, in faith, to lock up with the right person. He'll direct you. He'll guide you. He'll protect you. He'll cover you in your blood until you get to that place in him where nothing else matters. He'll get you there, but you got to get there. That's a divine destiny. If it's divine, it's from God. You suffer. Guess what? The shout is, you're going to be blessed if you hold on at the end. Amen. I'm almost there, y'all. He'll restore unto you everything you lost. He'll place your feet. He'll pick you up. He'll turn your life around. He'll place your feet on the solid ground. So you just keep your faith in God, for God will lead you to your promised land. Just keep your faith in God. And like Joseph, you'll get to your palace. You'll get to the favor. You'll get to everything your heart can imagine. Now listen, I don't know anyone after you've been through hell and high water to just give up and don't want the blessings no more. Do y'all know anyone? Once you taste the goodness of the Lord, as Psalms 34 and 8 says, oh, taste to see that the Lord is good. Once you taste it, you don't want to go back. I was telling a brother, I'm going to say this personally. Once I put a pair of good shoes on my feet, I wanted more. I had cheap shoes on before, hurt my feet so bad that I couldn't walk. I had to take them off when I was outside and just throw them away. I walked barefoot at home. That's how bad them cheap shoes hurt. I made this point up because when you get a taste of the Lord and he wants to give you the best, when you start getting the best, you don't want to go backwards. God will set you free to show you the favor. Here's the main lesson, and I'm getting ready to close this out to the text, is forgiveness. If someone has done you wrong, don't hold it against them. If somebody said they hate you, don't hold that against them. Joseph, when he got to that place in God, when he put some of the brothers in prison, y'all know the story. He could have put them all in there and forgot about them and just let them rot. Joseph was in the place of God where he was ready to bless his brothers. But he had to reintroduce himself to them because they didn't even recognize who he was. All these years, he had to reintroduce himself to brothers that conspired to kill him, that lied and told their dad that a beast, they cut the coat up, dipped it and killed the beast, dipped it in blood, took it to the father and said, here's your son's coat, he's dead. Can you imagine how Joseph felt when his brothers did that to him? Can you imagine how it felt to you if somebody came to you and said, I hate you, to your face? And another thing is, when somebody said they love you and they really don't, and you can feel it in your spirit that the person say, I love you, is really hating on you, is really envious and jealous over material things, stuff that just vanishes. Stuff. So the key to it is forgiveness. And if you don't forgive, the Father in heaven won't forgive you. So you show me anybody who has tasted the goodness of the Lord and just backed up. flagged life and just gave up. We're in the blessed place, saints. Y'all can stand to your feet. I know this wasn't a shout message, but God told me to tell you, y'all in a blessed place where the favor of God is on everybody, not just on pastor and co-pastor, ministers. The favor of God is on every child of God if you live right. God is no respecter person. God is not Jacob who gives just one child a coat. God wants to give to all his children their desires. If you walk upright, he says, no good thing will I withhold from them that walk upright. And he also said, if you delight, if you're happy in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. But you got to be delighted. You got to be happy. You can't come into the house of God with your head down, bowed down because you're going through. Everybody going through. Everybody that's been through so much in our lives. Now it's the breakthrough. Now it's time. Y'all see my head down, y'all lift it up. If I see y'all's down, I'm going to lift y'all up. This is what it's all about. It's not about one person prospering and everybody else not prospering. God wants everybody to prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. Amen? So Joseph made it to his promised land. What about you? Joseph made it to the place where he, instead of getting angry with his brothers and not forgiving them, he forgave them and blessed them. Are you in that place now where you're in a position that you can bless somebody that cursed you? Are you in that position like Joseph? You done made it and you want to bring your brother up so they can make it too, your sister up so she can make it too? Everybody has fallen short to the glory of God. Nobody's exempt from the kingdom. I don't care who it is out there, in here. We all can make it into that kingdom if you accept God in your life. If you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Either you're going to go to the pit and remain pitiful. Or you're going to go to the prison. And you don't have to really be behind bars. You could be in prison in your own mind. Incarcerated for years because of your mental thinking. But God wants to bring you out of it. God wants to bring you to the place in Him where nothing else matters, because it's all about God. It don't matter about family, it don't matter about church, it don't matter about, until you get yourself together in God and have a relationship with God, then and only then will you understand what I'm saying. That if you don't have a relationship with God, none of this stuff matters. Preaching don't even matter if you ain't got a relationship with God, because the anointing of God is in God, and God will come into you to deliver words so that people can understand that God is real and He's real in you and He wants to bless you like never before. So I'm opening the doors to heaven. Opening the doors to church. But there are many windows.